Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13, Jesus' teaching on prayer. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him." Then the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
Thank you, Marion. Might have appeared in a few adverts since. "Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches, I must make amends. I worked hard all my lifetime, no help from my friends. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz?" And of course, if you just go to Southampton Road, you've got enough money in your back pocket, your prayer can be answered. But I don't think that's the type of transactional prayer that Jesus had in mind when he taught us to pray, "Give us today our daily bread." But as we go through this Lord's Prayer, this is the point where things shift. It goes from the "you and your" phrases of "your kingdom come, your name be hallowed," to "give us." There is a shift from praise to request. And if nothing else, that should remind us that when we come in prayer, we come in a posture of praise and thankfulness first, reflecting on the greatness of the one to whom we pray before we reflect on what we want to ask for. But it is a prayer to give us something. It may not be a prayer for a luxury car, or as that song goes on, to ask for a colour TV. But it is a prayer for bread. And all I have to do is cross the road to One Stop, or in the week to Reeves, or the Co-op. Other shops are available, not in Wilton, but other shops are available. And I've got a few quid in my pocket, and that prayer can be answered. Is that the same as asking for a Mercedes Benz? So we'll look at 4 W questions. Which bread is Jesus talking about? What amount of bread? Whose bread? And why do we need to ask at all? The parable, the story that Marian read to us after that Lord's Prayer, is one that teaches of the generosity of God, not on his mean-spiritedness. So, we've already had a couple of references to bread in our service already this morning. But anyway, you know, I love a quiz. How many times is bread mentioned in the Bible? Ish.
403.
403? Higher or lower? We'll keep it easy now. Higher or lower?
Lower.
Oh, well, we've got a higher at the end. Who's higher? Oh, a few. Who's lower?
Lower.
Everybody else? Right. What are we doing, Johnny? We're going lower. No. Right, you're wrong.
Yeah. Andrew just told me.
No, it's 492-ish.
No, 291 in my version.
Well, okay.
I'm an Andrew.
Yeah. A lot. So, when Jesus says to teach us to pray, give us our daily bread, which of those various mentions of bread is he talking about? So, can anybody think of different times in the Bible? Anyone want to give us a time when perhaps ordinary physical bread is mentioned? We've had one. Rebecca made bread to go with the stew. Any other times you can think of?
Manchon.
That's, yeah. So, is that spiritual or physical bread?
Physical
bread, yeah. Sorry? Feeding of the 5,000. So, that's miraculous bread. Physical bread provided miraculously from a small offering that Jesus made into a very big offering and a very big meal for a lot of people. Any other examples of physical bread that might have become symbolic?
Last Supper,
which we will be sharing shortly. Any significant bread in the Old Testament?
Manna,
thank you. Where was that? Thank you. Yeah, so that was mysterious, miraculous bread. So that was unique. Manna provided every morning, and you could collect double on the night before the Sabbath, but not throughout the week. So you have manna, so miraculous bread. And what about unleavened bread? Symbolic of the speed at which the Israelites had to leave Egypt. And then, because of that bread being so significant, there is the festival, the seven-day festival of unleavened bread that is inaugurated in the Old Testament as a permanent reminder of fleeing from Egypt. And does anyone know where there's a recipe for bread in the Bible? Oh, no, in Ezekiel 4:9, I'm sure it was on the tip of your tongue. Ezekiel 4:9 says, "Take wheat and barley, beans and lentils, millet and spelt. Put them in a storage jar and use them to make bread for yourself. You are to eat it during the 390 days you lie on your side." So the prophet Ezekiel had to lie on his side as in symbolism. But God actually spelt out, no pun intended, how his food was made. I mean, when I was lying on my side for a very long period of time, I'm glad I had a little bit more to eat than that, if I'm honest. But with all these different types of bread, it is perfectly valid that we need to ask ourselves, what type of bread is Jesus asking us to ask for? Is it just merely symbolic bread? Is it miraculous bread? Is this a prayer about our spirit or our stomach? Or is it a prayer about both? Now, as when Ingvar was preaching and kicked off this series, he told us that we read this prayer in both Matthew and Luke's Gospels. So this teaching was clearly very important. But both of those Gospels do phrase things slightly differently. The prayer that we tend to remember is Matthew's version. But something we easily miss is that they are slightly different, because Matthew's original wording focuses more on the spiritual blessing that is anticipated in the end times. The opening of that prayer is looking forward and up. Your kingdom come. It is a prayer of anticipation and looking up. But Luke seems to focus more on our immediate physical needs, our bodily substance, our literal day-to-day food. And although they have different emphases, they do encompass both perspectives. This is a prayer, the now of bodily sustenance and the future focus of what is to come. And what is to come, as the Bible in several places uses the image of a banquet to describe the blessings of God that will be received in heaven. This is throughout the Bible, it's not what just Jesus. Isaiah 25 talks about a banquet of fine food and fine wine. So as we pray this prayer, we're not only praying for thy kingdom come, we're looking forward to the banquet that we are invited to. It is us saying, Lord, today, give us the blessings of eternity. It's the meal of anticipating Christ's return. So this prayer intertwines the physical and the spiritual. Meeting our physical needs has a spiritual component. If you were here on Good Friday, you will remember that we thought a little bit about the humanity of Jesus, fully God and fully human. God does not sneer and look down on our physical needs. Jesus' flesh was real. He felt pain, he got tired, he needed food and water just as we do. So God doesn't look down on our need for food as if it's a sign of weakness. He just knows that we need it, that's how he made us. But he wants us to ask him and rely on him for it. But the food, as I've said, it's a symbol of the banquet to come. It's a symbol of your kingdom come. In Revelation, we can look forward. It says, never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. And we've mentioned that Jesus was born, the bread of life, born in a town called House of Bread. And his mother sang when she found out she was expecting him. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. The end of hunger is both a physical and a spiritual need that we look forward to in eternity, but we ask God to bring that kingdom down today when we pray this bit, just as much as when we pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. But of course, the next W question is, what amount of bread are we asking for? I mean, let's remember, it is bread, not cake, that we ask for. So there is a fundamental truth here that this is a prayer about need and not greed. That, I think, is a fundamental difference in Lord, give us today our daily bread versus Lord, please buy me a Mercedes-Benz. Other cars are available, I hasten to add. There is a place for longing and presenting our desires to God, but it is not the place where we seek to accumulate wealth. We bring our petitions, as they're called, our desires, our requests to God, so that he can transform them and untangle them from what we might think is what we need into what he knows we need. And as we lay down our needs and our desires at his feet, it releases us from the temptations of this world to get pulled in the wrong direction. It transforms us into people who rely on God, who rely on his will and follow his will as we become in line with him. And we went on to read of that generous God who lovingly, more than even an earthly parent, gives good things. So when we think about the amount that God gives us, is it just the amount for one day? Is it just the amount to give us, in physical terms, the absolute minimum we need to keep us alive, and then tomorrow only getting the absolute minimum? We've mentioned the feeding of the 5,000. Those were poor people who were filled, and there was still food left over. He is a generous, loving God, and I don't like to think of him being stingy. So is there a difference between need in terms of what we need and the absolute bare minimum? Now, this is where it does get a little bit tricky, because the amount of food we need is linked in this prayer to the time over which it is given. Give us today. That's nice and clear. There is a sense of immediacy. But there is a double reference to a time period. Give us today, and what gets translated, our daily bread. That's what makes it a little bit more difficult to pin down. Because are we really just saying, give us today the bread we need for today? And that isn't terribly logical. You wouldn't normally in English say that today bit twice. And the trouble is, the Greek isn't that clear either. There is a word in there that gets used and translated our daily bread, but it's so rare that for centuries people have debated what it really means. And we do not speak, well, some of you may speak first century Greek, I know I certainly don't, and we don't live in that era. So we do need to delve a little bit deeper and think, well, what is Jesus teaching us here? Because this could legitimately be translated, as it seems to be in Luke, give us today the bread for the coming day. A prayer that relies on God, but also a prayer that releases us from the worry that tomorrow there will be none. It is a basic human need to be fed, and fear of being unable to feed oneself or provide for a family is a fear that really grips and becomes all-consuming. So this prayer also looks forward. But it can also mean, give us today the bread that will not run out. And in Jesus, we see that he is indeed the bread that will not come out. We will never get to the end of knowing him and learning more about him, of deepening our relationship with him. And it is that promise in Jesus of him being the bread that will never run out that we meet and celebrate in communion shortly. So in Give Us Today Our Daily Bread, we are still looking forward spiritually and physically for food today. It's not about accumulating wealth, and it's about trusting God for the future. The people, when they were given manna, were given bread for today, but the promise of bread for tomorrow, although they put it to the test, they very quickly learnt that they did not need to worry about tomorrow, which is what Jesus also teaches us. So give us bread today, the bread that will never run out. And then the next W question is, whose bread are we talking about? When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he taught us to pray corporately, give us our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. That is why we are called together as disciples to pray for each other and to pray together corporately. You have the opportunity this week. But who is the us we are praying for, and whose is the bread that we ask for? When we say, give us our daily bread, are we just talking about the people in this room, the people in our family? Are we asking on behalf of people in the community, this country? Because give us today, for by and large in this country, is a prayer that God has answered. Most people in this country do not have to worry about bread for today and having enough bread for tomorrow. I accept that some do. But in this country, largely that prayer has been answered. But we cannot pretend that around the world there aren't millions of people who have not had bread yesterday, will not get it today, and are unlikely to get it tomorrow. Theirs is a life gripped in fear and poverty and of struggle in a way that perhaps we are unlikely to experience or fully appreciate. So Jesus doesn't tell us, give me my bread for today. It's give us ours. After we finish this series on the Lord's Prayer, our next series will be looking at the book of Acts. And one of the marks of the church as established in Acts is a mark of sharing. And in the book of James, it is made clear that our actions are to accompany our faith. It says, suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? James was very clear that it's all very well sharing the good news of the gospel, the spiritual bread, and we have to share that. But we also have to, that also has to go hand in hand with meeting the physical needs of those who do not have enough. Perhaps we do not share enough because we do not hunger enough. As I was preparing for this week, I read the story and an illustration of Mother Teresa, who was told of a family who were starving. So she gathered up some rice and took it round to the family. The mother immediately split it in half and gave to the neighbour because she said, they are hungry too. If we have never hungered, we perhaps don't appreciate the need to share as much as we might. We are called to share physically and spiritually. The bread we are given is ours, not mine. And then finally, why should we pray this at all? The Bible tells us that God knows what we need more than we ask, more than we know ourselves. He knows what's on our tongue before we say it. So why do we pray it? We know that God is generous. Well, we've already touched on some of the answers, but the first reason I suggest that we should pray this is because we are taught to pray this. Jesus tells us to pray this when he taught the disciples. So in praying it, it's both an act of obedience and an act of submission to his will. He knows what our needs are, but this prayer brings everything out into the open before God. It delves into our deepest fears, our needs, and our hunger for the things of God. Secondly, it teaches us to rely on God for our needs. This is transformative in our walk with him, and it saves us from the temptation to think that we are self-sufficient. It reminds us that God is a generous and loving Father who cares for us. It is an invitation to rely on his faithfulness. We have sung of the faithfulness of God. We receive grace wide and free, unmerited favour. And when we realise that all the good things that we receive are from God, it protects us from chasing after the things of the world to chasing him. The things that he gives as well, I need to say, are not about the faithfulness of the person praying. This is not an invitation into the prosperity gospel. Whether we have a Mercedes-Benz or a Ford Escort, other cars are available, has got nothing to do with our faithfulness before God. The fact that we are blessed to have full cupboards does not mean we are more favoured by God than those who have nothing. We are to pray this as well because we are called to be Christ-like and associate with the poor, to stand alongside them in their need. The prayer is for our bread, includes a prayer for our neighbours. Sharing relief of hunger is a mark of the kingdom. And if we pray this prayer, we have to be willing to be part of the solution. We are invited to be part of the answer, to see God's kingdom come on earth, to see an end to hunger. And finally, we pray for the bread of Jesus. A hunger for God is a prayer that will be satisfied now and forever. We receive today the joy of salvation, but we also look forward to the time when we shall see him face to face at that great banquet. Jesus said in his teaching in Matthew chapter 5, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." If we do not hunger for hunger and thirst for righteousness, perhaps we should pray that our appetite gets increased. Because this is a prayer that reflects that longing. So as we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we can see that the spiritual and the physical are intertwined. This is not an either or. We need both spiritual and physical bread today and daily. This shows that God is a God that cares about our whole being. Our bodies, he doesn't sneer at our bodies, but we too need to honour him by how we use ours. The physical matters to God as well as the spiritual. So what bread are we talking about? Well, we're talking about physical and spiritual bread. We are praying for bread for today and the coming day, the bread that will never run out. The bread that we pray for is ours, not mine, to hoard. And we pray because it shapes us and our relationship with God. As I have been preparing this week, I have to say this has been deeply challenging, because I then started to wonder, well, how often do I say grace? I remember when I was when Paul and I were students, first time round, and if you got invited to, the minister of the church there is now Professor Elwood, and his wife was an amazing cook. So if you're a student and you got invited, you definitely pulled out the stops to make sure you could go, because it involved lunch, proper roast lunch, and tea, because he lived quite a way away. He said, no, we can't get you home. You know, students, that back in the day, students didn't have cars. And his rule was, and he was a very, very godly man, he said, well, we say grace when it's a knife and fork. But if it's not a knife and fork, so tea, we didn't say grace, but lunch we did. But I found it very challenging to think, well, you know, we have, most of us are blessed to have pretty full cupboards. And we can so easily say this without really thinking, thank you, God, that you have fed me today. So I thought, well, what would it be like if I said grace every time I ate anything? And I must admit, that was quite a challenge, partly just to remember, but particularly it felt a little bit bad. And I thought, what am I doing to my body if I eat this? So I invite you to have a think about that. That's entirely up to you. But it is really important that we give thanks to God. Not only we present our requests to him, but we thank him for his goodness. I wonder what impact it would have on me and my spiritual life if I did develop the habit and stopped forgetting to say grace every time I ate anything. Because when we pray, it changes us. It really does transform our walk and our love of God. This is the prayer that Jesus told us to pray. So let's take it seriously. Loving God, we thank you for your goodness. Help us to learn what it means to pray, give us today our daily bread. We thank you for the physical and spiritual food that you provide. And most of all, we thank you for Jesus, the bread of life, who will never run out. Amen.